test. Boop, 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 boop.
It's underway right now.
Underway.
Is it going?
We're all
set. Yeah. Well, Jeff, the Sidious Classroom, which in our version, published it began out of Illich. Illich's de-schooling had challenged me to somebody coming in. It really began with de-schooling by Ivan Illich, because Illich, I thought, was quite right in suggesting that we live in a new environment in which all the answers are now outside the schoolroom. And therefore, he suggests, why don't we close the schools? And I say, why not put the questions in the classroom? If the answers are now outside, let's get the questions inside and set up a dialogue between the outside and the inside. So our book, The Sidious Classroom, is really designed to get students in small teams to go outside to study the setup, the situations that they live with every day, and to discover what they're made of, and I call it the figure-ground approach, and to study a sort of Ralph Nader style or what is developing in this environment.
What if we go back to the word school and education, the roots of that, what were those words originally intended to mean?
That's what I had, we have that right at the beginning of the book. School, scholia, among other things, meant leisure. And so persons who go to school are really people who don't have to work. On the other hand, we have increasingly tended to turn the classroom into a place of work. We consider that the people in the classroom are workers. However, the fact is that in the information environment outside, the workers are more engaged in learning than the people in the schoolroom are. This is a paradox. There is more learning going on outside the classroom than there is inside the classroom. I mean, 100 times more.
Why has that situation come about?
This has come about through the electronic environment. The information environment of the electric circuits and so on carry enormous quantities of information which are available to everybody outside the schoolroom. Inside the schoolroom, not very much of this is available. The schools are committed to a form of learning which does not permit very much use of the electronic circuits. However, they're aware of this now increasingly and aware that they might be able to take up some of the uses of the electric environment in the schoolroom. It, however, is merely a quantity approach. And as a matter of fact, I don't think Illich, in his de-schooling book, made a very good analysis of the situation. He didn't do a structural analysis. He merely noticed that the environment was now loaded with information.
How would you suggest that the structure he put forth as a solution be?
I don't think he put forth any solution. He did a diagnosis.
Right.
He said the situation is this and this. And he suggested, of course, that the whole idea of the student in the schoolroom is obsolete. That the student in the environment had been originally the form of learning. He was talking about a relatively non-man-made environment. The sort of environment he used as his model was pre-electronic. And he saw that in the human past, typically, children and young people were educated by simply working along with grown-up people in the community, which is certainly true. Today, the same thing is happening, having in the 17th, 18th centuries, as the bourgeoisie got going, they tended to pull their kids out of the environment and put them in schoolrooms where they could be given highly specialized training of what is now called literacy. But that sort of training had been alien to the studies and, say, in the Middle Ages. Young people became workers from the age of 7. They were fully qualified workmen up to a point by the age of 7. today, in the electronic environment, a person of 3 years of age can be senile, gray, with excess information.
How does that come about?
Just electronically. That a child of three today has been around the world thousands of times with advertisements. He has traveled to every corner of the earth with advertisements and other shows. So that he knows more than Methuselah. Methuselah, at the age of 900, had known very little about this planet. He had never been around the world. But any infant today of three has been around the world many times, in every corner of the world. And this incredible situation is not recognized in the schools and not taken advantage of. The phrase, gray at three, comes out of James Joyce's Finnegan's Wake. But Finnegan's Wake is quite aware that anybody who, in the Finnegan's Wake, Joyce is quite aware, anybody who learns to speak proper tongue or dialect has acquired vast information and vast skill. But a child who at the age of one speaks English or his native tongue has learned more than he will ever learn again in all his life put together. Because the language itself is a vast store of information. And when a child has learned to speak English or Polish, he has learned more than he will ever learn again in all his life put together. That is because language has this peculiar character. It is a storehouse. It's like a data bank. Language is a vast data bank stored with the impressions and knowledge of countless millions of people. Anybody who can speak any language has access to this huge data bank of a language. Now, electronically, we are more and more aware of this, and we're more and more trying to simulate these data banks. We're trying now, mechanically, as it were, to store in data banks things which are already inherent in any language.
Well, if we talk about one of the things that occur to a lot of people is if you take people out of the classroom, how much out of the classroom?
Yeah.
And what about thinking about that scheme from high school all the way through to university into adult education?
Yeah.
Is there a balance that you should have between inside and outside, or should we totally do away?
This book, have you read the book?
Yeah.
Well, you can see the book is loaded with projects which would take teams of students out of the classroom, two or three at a time.
Right.
They would size up, case the joint, size up their problem, and they'd have to do this by dialogue. They'd have to do a great deal of talking among themselves before, and then interviewing people, before they could go back to the classroom and report what they'd found. When they go back to the classroom, there's more and more and more dialogue with the people in the classroom and with the teacher. Of what they